it's Rabbi Jim Egolf. Thank you so much for joining me and staying with me. I've been out of town for a couple weeks and just trying to get back and get into the groove. And also the things that have to begin to be done as you get into those months right before the high holidays. Believe it or not, they're coming up pretty soon. Anyway, I wanted to take a moment this week to talk about our Torah portion, Devarim, and to kind of go through some of the lessons we might want to take away from this first Torah portion in the last book of the Torah. I thank you so much for joining me. Email me at ravjim@aol.com or call me on my Skype line, 610-624-3441, or you can find me on Facebook as Rav Jim. Thank you for joining me. Shalom. Shalom. Something that I loved when I was a kid was waffles. You remember how they have to have those perfect little square grooves that are created on the surface of this. It's kind of a waffle's like a half pancake, half kind of a flatbread confection with some vanilla in it. And I remembered trying to figure out whether or not I could manage the cup of syrup that came with the waffle, because they didn't like have the all you can eat sugar then, and try to see if I could manage to fill each square with some of the syrup. When I could, I was very proud of myself. You know, well, such are the aspirations of a 4-year-old. If, however, you say waffle today, it tends to mean something different in this year. How was it that this great traditional breakfast food was stolen and made to refer to someone who changes his or her political positions? Well, I did a little research into this, and in the 17th century, the verb waff was used to describe someone who was at a loss for words but had to continue speaking, so they made stuff up. There are some who believe that there's a connection between the word waff and wolf. Yes, just W-O-O-F, just like the sound the dog makes. And according to Wikipedia, which means you might want to check the accuracy, waffle in a political context was first used in a Doonesbury cartoon to refer to Bill Clinton. Still, if I would have heard that someone was a waffler when I was a kid, I could have only imagined a superhero who hurled waffles, those discs, with great force, made bad guys slip on the butter, and apprehended and held criminals for the police with a much stickier version of the syrup than the one that I found in my cup. This feature of multiple meanings, though, is not unique to English, and this brings us to our Torah portion. Now, the Torah portion this week is Devarim. This is from the Hebrew letters, Dalet, Vet, Resh, and is used in our opening line of the Torah portion to refer to, or to be translated as, words or teachings, maybe. But Devarim is worse than, but trying to define the word Devarim is actually worse than trying to fill up all those little squares on the waffle. And I'm not talking about the Eggo-sized waffle, I'm talking about one of those big plate-sized waffles. Since Devarim has almost as many meanings as there are squares on the waffle. Devarim can mean laws, mitzvot, things, devarim or bees, words. The list goes on and on. And this means that when the word appears in the text of the Torah, we have to rely on the context and the words around it to really gain a sense of how the word is being used. Then again, such a word also lends itself to interpretation and offering different ways to see the text. It is not that one text is absolutely right or absolutely wrong, or translation is absolutely right or absolutely wrong, but that having play with the possibilities of a word allows us to see into the text and the rabbis who offered creative interpretations in the Torah. It also teaches us that we too, within some limits, we too, though, have the ability, if not the invitation, to offer our thoughts on a text and how we might understand the Torah. In every age, Judaism invites our voices to be part of the conversation called Torah. There are sometimes, though, when we really need to trust that a word or idea does have an understood and almost inviolate meaning. One of those meanings that I would like to look at has to do with something that occurred during our political season, but really is about the idea of a word having meaning. It was reported in the Guardian newspaper in England that presumptive Democratic nominee Barack Obama visited Israel and did what many feel is a meaningful expression of faith. He took a piece of stationery from the King David Hotel and wrote a prayer on that stationery, folded it, took it, and placed that piece of paper in the kotel. What he did not know was that a man whose initial has only been given, and his initial is Aleph, I guess this is done to protect the guilty, Aleph stole the prayer and gave it to one of the Israeli papers, who then published the prayer in the press. Aleph has been condemned by Rabbi Shmuel Rabinowitz, who is the rabbi of the Kotel, who said, Rabbi Rabinowitz said, quote, "The notes placed between the stones of the Western Wall are between a person and his maker. It is forbidden to read them or make any use of them. This damages the Western Wall and damages the personal deep part of every one of us that we keep to ourselves." So thanks to Aaron, Eli, Eliyahu, Ehud, our Adonijah, whoever Aleph is, that which is holy has been profaned. Oddly, as I mentioned earlier, Aleph's identity is being withheld, which I can't really believe adds any greater sense of holiness to his actions or this incident, but nonetheless, he's being protected. Before I go on, one last note to Senator Obama. You know, Senator, you and I are tall guys. Next time, pick a crevice a little further off the ground. I know you can reach it, just like I can. But now back to our topic at hand, namely, that which is not being protected, that is, holiness. Holiness in Judaism is one of those concepts that when you begin to talk about holiness and God and being righteous, people sometimes get the heebie-jeebies. Not because we don't want to do things that make us holy, but the concept is something that often defies a great amount of clarity. Yet when I think of Aleph's actions, I can only deem them to be less than holy. And this is because I feel that the term holy and the charge to be holy are best defined by Nachmanides. What did this Spanish rabbi who publicly debated Christians and had to flee for his life and wound up living his last days in Israel, what did he say? Well, on the topic of holiness, Nachmanides suggested that the charge to be holy that we will read on Yom Kippur afternoon, and the idea of being a holy people, as put forth in the Torah, boils down to the fact that the Torah, admittedly, could not cover every episode and moment in the life of each person. Even with 613 mitzvot, there was still a lack of creating a rule to apply to every moment in life. Thus, the charge to be holy is God's charge to do the right thing, even when that right thing is not necessarily covered by one of the 613 mitzvot. Holiness was the catch-all reminder that a Jew should strive to be a good person, and that one should never say to him or herself, I've done all the mitzvot. Thus, if an action is not covered by a mitzvah, I'm free to follow my most base inclinations. This is an important and incredible lesson for us today in our society. Holiness invites us to a greater sense of the benefit of the doubt, in Hebrew known as lakaf zechut, the concept of being better and striving to create common understanding. Is something we need to strive for as a society, for it is beyond politics and illegalities. It's really a matter of being the connective material of who we are and what we are to each other. And now going back to the lesson beyond holiness, our ability to have understanding is based on the ability to have conversation and contact and context. Words are open to interpretation and also misinterpretation. Interpretation is incredible because it gives us things like poetry and music and art. It allows us to joke and be amused by my favorite jokes, puns. Just ask my office staff. They say they suffer through many of my puns. However, when we can't laugh and joke together, when we can't be open to another way of hearing words and thus experiencing the world as other people see it, we shut down part of us that makes us absolutely human and absolutely connected with, to, and being able to connect for greater and higher purposes. I wish you the best of weeks. Shavua Tov.